It's a while ago that I read an article on Daily Maverick by Greg Mills and Ray Hartley, and I learned some new words to describe states that aren't functioning terribly well. Failed, fragile, weak, collapsed, vulnerable, moribund, straggling, struggling, crisis, quasi-failed, non-state, broken state, invisible state, insufficient state, stillborn, phantom, or even a Potemkin state. A Potemkin state, by the way, is a state that pretends to work but doesn't. Are we a Potemkin state, given the way that the ANC talks about us and our governance levels? I think we might well be a Potemkin state by that definition. And then the authors suggest something called the careless state. One of the authors, Dr. Greg Mills, director of the Johannesburg-based Brenthurst Foundation, is on the line to us now. Hello, Greg.
Hello, John. Happy New Year to you, belatedly.
Yeah, I think it's not allowed anymore.
Okay, sorry.
I think you've broken the rules.
I thought it was the 15th of January.
Is it the 15th of January? Okay.
Yeah.
Then Happy New Year, Greg, and I hope you and your family stay healthy. What is a careless state, and how's that differentiated? I suppose the phrase which most people would respond to and have in their heads is a failed state. Is a careless state on the way to being a failed state, or a particular kind of failed state? What is it?
I mean, the problem with all the terms that you so speedily read out, and you probably left out the incapable state, is they don't tell us very much about sort of gradations of failure. There's always sort of seemed to be this imaginary tipping point between a failed state and one that works, whereas in fact it's obviously on a spectrum of failure. And also very importantly, those terms don't really tell us about levels of inequality because they tend to be evened out. So you can have bits of countries that work exceptionally well, but only for very small elites. Angola would be an example of that. And they also, most importantly, don't really tell us about the pathology. So what lends itself to the rise of failure or the expansion of failure across states is, we suggest, a pathology of carelessness. And these are when countries pretend to deliver, but they don't really care, of course. I mean, most political leaders tend to overpromise. They tend to be somewhat messianic in the nature of the promises they make, because that's the nature of politics. And Donald Trump was the worst example of this. But careless states are also those that don't invest natural resources. They're the ones who care more about ideology than they care actually about delivery. They're those that care more about raw power and exercising it and promoting a particular idea or ideal rather than actually tending to their people at home. And then there are, of course, the extreme versions of this, like Mobutu Sese Seko's careless state, which deliberately sought to run the country down in order to be able to actually maintain his own governance over the territory. And there's the one that most notably resembles that of South Africa, who expressed sort of uber levels of concern, but who are constantly really maneuvering, not in the interest of people necessarily, but for reasons of rent seeking, for reasons of profiteering with making transactions all the time. So they'll say one thing, but underneath it is a different logic of a political economy. And I think for citizens, this may explain why levels of trust are so low in South Africa, for example, because there is this level of carelessness and perceptions about levels of delivery. And South Africa ranks consistently amongst the lowest countries in the world on trust indicators. But, the more important question is, how does one actually get political leaders to show that they care more than giving us, earnest speeches, which they're so good at, but actually deliver
by threatening to vote them out? Surely, Greg, is just about the only answer, or is that a very inadequate answer?
Well, that is very difficult when identity plays such an important role in political systems, at least on this continent, and even where identity doesn't play perhaps as big a role as it does in South Africa. Then you have, challenges in the electoral systems themselves. You've seen, recently Freedom House came out with its 2020 rankings on African democracies. We've knocked two countries off. There are now only eight free countries, are judged by Freedom House. out of 55 African countries. More have slipped to the partly free category. You look at the election, for example.
What are we? Can I interrupt and say, what are we? Are we one of the eight
free? No, we're one of the eight free, okay. You know, along with Mauritius and Botswana and Namibia, Ghana, Tunisia, Cape Verde, Tome and Principe. So some island countries in that, and very few of the big countries, with the exception of South Africa. So the challenge is, and say we have the election with Uganda tomorrow. I mean, that has been one of the most blatant forms of intimidation and blatant misuse of state power. So it's not easy for Africans to vote people out, even if that is indeed their choice. But you're right; it's the ultimate, I suppose you could call it referendum on carelessness.
One of the reasons why I think we are not a more careless state than we are is because we have active civil society. We have free media. I mean, it's not high quality, a lot of it, but it's free and independent. And we have, to a very large extent, still an independent judiciary. And that's a very important part of the arsenal in preventing governments from becoming more careless and our government from becoming more careless. Would it be safe to argue that South Africa is a less careless state now under Cyril Ramaphosa than it was under Jacob Zuma?
I think almost definitely. I there's certainly a better spin on things, but there's no attempts made to capture, at least by elements of the party, large parts of the governance structures, and to reduce the divisions and the checks and balances that exist within government. So yes, from that perspective, in terms of those different aspects that make up a democracy, we are a lot better off because there's much more respect for them. But of course, you know, I saw that President Ramaphosa recently said that, you know, we would be delighted to teach the United States about, democratic transition, which is, a little bit on the arrogant side, given that we ourselves have not yet had a proper democratic transition, which is a change of government at the polls. So, you know, ultimately, that is the test of all democracy, is whether you will willingly go into opposition without pulling all sorts of tricks.
Greg Mills, Dr. Greg Mills, thanks very much for talking to us this afternoon. Director of the Johannesburg-based Brenthurst Foundation. If you'd like to read more about the careless state, then I suggest you search for that phrase on the Daily Maverick.